flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Soto, it goes both ways. He can make some horrible moves.
You know, some people say, you know, that Bob Myers left because of Joe Lacob. There could be some truth to that. But I also think Bob was worn out. It was obvious he was worn out. I talked to Bob about it. He was worn out.
Yeah,
it was a lot.
He looked very refreshed on the broadcast last night.
He has been refreshed.
He looked refreshed.
He has been refreshed.
For him.
He got out at the right time. But it can be. You know, some owners will be on you. And that's part of it. I'm sure Mike Dunleavy knows that that's kind of part of the gig. Lacob's going to be involved.
Well,
Lacob, like, I would sit there sometimes in a tunnel. He's so funny. I watch Lacob text, right? He said that he'd get on his phone, he texts. I would scan quickly over to Bob Myers to see if he would look at his phone. And as soon as Lacob would text, I scan at Bob Myers, and Bob Myers picking up his phone looking. I'm like, oh, that's a text from Lacob. They're texting dirty again. There is. So maybe that does get overbearing. It does get overbearing.
Well, like anything in life, there's a threshold. Wouldn't you agree? And there's a point of diminishing returns, meddling too much. But if you don't think that ownership is involved for all the top teams, I think you're delusional.
But I would also want to know, what deals has Lacob prevented Mike Dunleavy from doing?
Well, I guess my question to you would be, like, when they had the expiring contract for CP3, we will never understand what was or wasn't a realistic option. Now, if you come to him, like, here's the hypothetical. Dunleavy comes to Joe Lacob. Hey, Joe, here's the deal. We can use this trade chip to get Zach LaVine.
Right.
Okay? Hypothetically. This is a hypothetical. I don't know the draft picks, but the money it's going to cost you and locking this in and being in the apron, this is a financial question, Joe. This isn't just an X's and O's basketball question. Are you willing to do that deal and freeze all the other assets the second you do that? Because that's what you would have done.
That's what you would have done. And I think people don't understand that.
I think a lot of people, it's easy to say, I would have done the deal no matter what, and I'm one of them.
I'm sure. But because it's not our money, it's his money.
Exactly.
However, when you want to build a sustainable model, you want to have a long-term team. And right now, it looks hairy right now. You could say, well, Bonte, they're not good right now. So what difference does it make?
It looks really bad.
But they've told us for years, I will pay the tax if we're competing for championships. Last year, they didn't make the playoffs. They lost in the first play-in game. First play-in game, they lost. So I don't blame ownership for not wanting to get back into the tax this year. I wouldn't. And right now, you're in 11th place. What would it look like if you're in 11th place with the most expensive roster of basketball? Think about that. Last year, they had the most expensive roster of basketball last season, and they were in 10th place.
With all of your future firsts frozen because you can't trade them.
Exactly.
They'd be in a tough spot.
They'd be in a very tough spot. So go ahead, Lubman, get in.
No, I just, as you guys are talking about this, like, and I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying, but I do think the word choice here matters, and it's just what Logan said. Like, when you say, like, meddle with something, the definition is, you know, to interfere or busy oneself with something that's not one's concern. I'm pretty sure the day-to-day operations of the Warriors and the roster are a concern of Joe Lacob. So I wouldn't say the word meddle. I would say he's involved with the front office. So
can he be
collaborating? And that sounds a lot better than meddling. Like, Spadoni just brought up Jerry Jones, Mark Davis. Those are owners that I would say, yeah, I think they kind of meddle with their franchise operations because their actions get in the way of the team's success. I can't really sit here and say that Joe Lacob has truly taken actions that get in the way of the Warriors' success. So, no, to say he's meddling, no, I would disagree with the word used there. If you want to say Joe Lacob is involved with the front office, yeah, I'll sign off on that. And then, Chasky, to your point, you said, like, well, what good owner is not involved with their front office?
Yeah, I agree. They're all involved. And could he be overbearing, Joe Lacob? I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of owners could be over. Look at Shaq Khan with the Jacksonville Jaguars and what's going on there. They're trying to be involved. Now, they may not know what they're doing, but every owner in football is involved.
Yeah.
Some are just quieter than others. Some people let them do their jobs, but they got to run it by these owners. Like, hey, I'm going to sign this guy to a contract. You think it's cool? We're going to make this trade. We're going to lose this capital. What's it going to mean to you? Blah, blah, blah. Because obviously the dollars and cents make sense, and the revenue that you're going to get in for said player, the revenue that you may lose for said player, like Saquon Barkley, jersey sales or whatnot. So you got a decision to make.
Now, here's where I think it goes both ways, right? When you have the success, you're allowed more leeway in involvement.
Right.
If the team is in the 11th seed for five straight years,
right,
well, then now, yeah, we do have a problem, right? No, you know what I'm saying? Like, now we have a problem. So this goes back to the Jerry Jones thing. The body of work's pretty significant.
Right.
You know, he gets in his own way a lot.
Like, you know.
You know, so.
Would you rather have Joe Lacob or would you rather have John Fisher? Would you rather have Joe Lacob or would you rather have Jerry Jones?
Chris Cohn.
Would you have Chris Cohn, who was the previous owner?
I couldn't even point him out.
You know what I'm saying? Would you rather have him or would you rather have Joe Lacob? Like, would you rather have an owner who's an absentee guy who just doesn't give a damn? Or would you rather have Joe Lacob, who cares, and sits courtside for every single game? Like, Mark Cuban was involved, right?
Yeah.
Do we think he was meddling?
I loved it. I was jealous. One of the things that my buddy, and again, this is a business analogy, so maybe it's not perfect for football. My buddy Issa, he owns lots of restaurants. And he said to me, he goes, I have to be at my restaurants every day. And I was like, well, why? You own, like, so many of them. And this guy goes, I have to know what's going on at the ground floor of my business. I owe it to myself. And how can I look my other employees and my managers in the face if I don't have at least a fundamental understanding of what's going on every day? Now, I'm paraphrasing what he told me, but I agree with that. That's how you run a good business. Now, do you hire good people and empower them to do their job? No, absolutely. But great ownership on any company is asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, is collaborating with them. That doesn't mean you override everything. Right. And that doesn't mean you just nod your head and go along with everything.
No doubt.
I think there's got to be give and take.
I think the switch up on Lake has been pretty fascinating.
No, I think it's unfair.
When he said, you know, we're light years ahead of everybody. Everybody ran with it. Everybody loved him. We started calling him Joey Light Years, and they were all kissing his ass, and they were hanging banners or whatnot. So not a switch up where he gets all the blame, and you get these things like Kevin O'Connor from Yahoo Sports, good journalist. He writes well, but God bless his soul. He's just writing straight crap the last week, straight up dog poo about fake trades, about what Lacob has done, about what's going on with Siakam, and they could have got this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. I'm like, this guy doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about. What is this stuff? So everybody's just putting gasoline on the fire, and there's always got to be, again, it goes back to sports. It's always got to be a scapegoat, right?
100%.
So we've somehow, some way, chosen that Joe Lacob or Steve Kerr is going to be the scapegoat this season. That's where we're at. And it's unfair. It is unfair because how can you say a guy hasn't been trying to win over the last 4 years when they pay the most luxury tax in basketball? What kind of owner? Wait, an owner who doesn't care about winning is going to pay luxury tax for a team? Make it make sense.
And he built a new arena.
And I got no dog in the fight. I'm like, some people think they hit me with the, you know, Bonte, you work for the Warriors. We got a total company. I don't work for the Warriors. I work for 95.7 and NBC. The Warriors don't pay me anything. We're partners with the Golden State Warriors here at 95.7 and NBC. So, you know, we're going to be very, watch what I say. I'm not going to just go out there straight disrespect people, but I'm also going to keep it real. And keeping it real is, wait a minute, you got an owner paying luxury tax? And you're telling me he doesn't care to win, even though he's paying luxury tax year in and year out, year in and year out. I don't get that.
But here's the part I don't understand. In the era of player movement, where the players have all the power, why is it the franchise's most important player has constantly sided with Joe Lacob?
Yeah.
If he was frustrated, then okay, we should all listen.
Right.
Right? Like, okay, we should all listen. I mean, at what point has Curry indicated that he's really mad at Joe Lacob?
He hasn't.
No, he might be frustrated with the results that's going on right now. But if there was any negativity toward ownership, wouldn't we kind of have a feel for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
I mean, am I wrong on that? Like, Like, wouldn't we kind of hear that just a little?
Now, trades are hard.
Now, that being said, again, I think this is fair to say. Hey, what's he going to do post-Steph? Right. Well, that's a great question. I don't know.
We don't know.
What? Like, we will see. We will see if they can evolve and pivot beyond Steph Curry. That time will come. But, like, right now, I think he's made a pretty good, like, making the most out of what you've got. He's made a pretty good situation here.
No doubt.
There's a lot of other owners in the NBA who would have fumbled what the Warriors had.
There's no doubt about that.
You may not think so, but it's true.
Just think about Clay Bennett and OKC decided not to pay the $6 million for James Harden. Look what it did to that franchise. It was the beginning of the end because he didn't want to dip his toes in the tax despite having Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and James Harden enter in their prime. Oklahoma City would have ran the league. They would have ran the league. But he decided, you know what, I'm not going to go. The tax outweighs the winning. And what happened? OKC didn't win. They didn't win. They got to the one finals appearance.
One of the big woulda, coulda, shouldas in sports, really, that team. Like, honest to God.
Jerry, right? We're just talking about the Chicago Bulls. Jerry's Reinsdorf.
He's the worst.
Would you rather have an owner that doesn't care, or would you rather have Joe Lacob? That's all I'm saying. Tim in North Carolina, real quick before we hit the break and get to Bobby Marks. What up, Tim?
What's up, fellas? Hey, real quick, I got three quick things. Hopefully I can get through them, guys. I wanted to tell you, number one, it's interesting that the Murdoch thing came out, because if you play that guy, BG, who was on Steining them show the other day, how he said JK's value has probably skyrocketed even more than what the Warriors realized with him after him being out. But I wanted to say, I think Vucevic, honestly, I wouldn't do LaVine, but I think Vucevic coming in could be deadly, because it would put Kuminga at the three, which his curve's been saying the whole time. And now you get a starting lineup with Steph, Dre, Vucevic, Kuminga, and Wiggs with four guys who can kind of get a bucket. And I think that would be really deadly. But I heard you guys talking earlier about Anthony Davis. And, guys, I really believe if you look at the league, the days of the big two and the big three, those days are gone, man. Those, if you look at the Phoenixes and you look at the Lakers, guys, this thing is now about skilled players in every position, right? Look at Houston. They can sub out Jabari Smith or Sengun, and they can just keep it rolling because they got skill everywhere. Look at what Memphis came in here the other day, a couple of weeks ago, like 9-10 people, just skill. John Moran ain't even on the floor. Guys, we have forgotten that Chet Holmgren even plays for OKC because they got skill. The days of big twos and big threes, man, those days are over. So look at Phoenix. They got three of the best players, you know, great players, and now they're trying to get another one, and it's not there anymore. So when I look at JK, I see skilled. I see 6'7", left hand, right hand, mid-range, get to the basket. You need skilled players, not all of the specialists, to really survive in this NBA nowadays. So I think we talking about all these big moves, yes. Would Zach and Vucevic be better probably than Lauri Markkanen and Paul George? We avoided a disaster with those two. But I honestly think, fellas, if you just get Vucevic in here and you get them out on the floor and now you can bring Buddy and Todd's and these guys off of the bench, I think that can be a lethal combination. But yeah. I just think we got to be careful on thinking the whole days of getting Anthony Davis with Steph. Because what happens, guys, is when one of those big two or big three are out, mm-hmm. you are done.
Mm-hmm. That's a great call, Tim. Tim always brings it, man. He always has a solid phone call all the way out there in Raleigh, North Carolina. With that said, we'll get to Bobby Marks, here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. He's going to talk to us about some trades, working with ownership, what's it like working with owners, what's his thoughts on Joe Lacob. That's all coming up, brought to you by our great friends at Ceremony Ford.
What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
What'd you say, Spadoni? Big Pump's voice goes perfectly over this beat, huh? See, it does. It really does. I love this beat. Oh, my gosh. Big Pump, what up? What up, Roasters? Good to have the YouTube chat back. I see they're back at it. They're in rare form once again. So is the text line today. So is the text line. Boy, when losing happens, a lot of people get angry. I will say that. That's for sure. 95.7 The Game Knockout Tournament is back. Win a chance to shoot some hoops on the floor at Chase Center starting on January 27th and go for 3 weeks. So you would have plenty of chances to win. That is this Monday, 8 a.m. hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour. You have three chances each day for 3 weeks, but you got to be 18 and you have to be a California resident. But it's going to be a lot of fun to try to shoot some hoops at the place Steph Curry and Joe Lacob built, or I could say Steph built. They built it with Joe Lacob's money. Warriors lose last night to the Sacramento Kings. They take on the Chicago Bulls tonight. That was a frustrating loss, but quick turnaround for the Golden State Warriors. They got to flip the page in a heartbeat, and we don't even know whether or not Steph is going to play on the back end of a back-to-back. But let's bring in Bobby Marks, a longtime friend here on the River Islands guest line, as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, a beautiful, beautiful place. Bobby Marks, ESPN analyst and front office insider, of course, has been doing it for a long, long time, and he always joins us here. Bobby, good morning. Good to talk to you again, and let's just get right started because I know your time is tight today. When we talk about trades, let's start this way. Let's start with this. What is the most appealing asset the Warriors have if they do want to make a deal for a big boy or a player that could kind of jumpstart the Golden State Warriors into the top six of the Western Conference?
Yeah, I would say probably their draft picks. I don't see a player out there that could jumpstart them to get into the top six of the Western Conference. Kind of the reality. That's the reality of the situation for a lot of teams right now here. But I would think it's probably their draft pick that potentially could be in a lottery this year. And, certainly they've got two more picks they would be able to trade. Of course, you could talk about Jonathan Kuminga and, the Andrew Wiggins contract to get the money, the money to make something work here. I would think the draft picks. I have the trade guide, the big trade guide coming out on Tuesday for all 30 teams. And, I'm not talking about going out and improving the roster in Golden State. I'm talking about how do you get under the luxury tax? I think that's a more likely option than going out and trying to trade for a high-level player, which high-level players aren't really available right now, especially, I guess if you could put Jimmy Butler up there, I don't know if that's what you want. That's more of the direction. I know that's probably not a very appeasing to a Warrior fan, especially where you are right now. But it might be something like that, that happens at the deadline.
Okay, we've been talking a lot about, in the last hour or so, about Joe Lacob, because there's been different things said, and Bob Myers was on the broadcast last night, and he's talked about how it's a tough job working for Joe Lacob. Mm-hmm. You've worked for owners, and I don't know what kind of owner you've worked for before, because I wasn't doing your job, but what is it like in the cauldron of trying to compete when you have someone like Steph Curry and you could tell that the embers of the dynasty are flaming out here and you got Joe Lacob in there and you're collaborating them. Walk us through what that's like from the GM's perspective.
Yeah, I think you have to have a self-awareness of what the market is. I always say that we get caught up with the trade deadline, which is 2 weeks from today. The trade deadline is like going to a high-end store right now and things being like, 150% of as far as what the value is. I mean, that's the reality of it. Whereas something like that, the same thing when you get into the off season could be at 50% of the value. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to have some type of self-awareness that, listen, Golden State's struggling. Teams know that. The asking price is going to be considerably higher right now than what it is in the summer here. And if you're willing to have patience, usually something will materialize here. I think the hard part is, listen, you've got a player on your roster, that you're trying to maximize his greatness with Curry. But I always say, it takes a dance partner. There's only 450 players in the NBA here. And I would say, 85 or 90% of those guys are not available to go out and make a trade for here. So I get it. Like, I understand that there's certainly a frustration probably from ownership, as far as where this roster is and with Curry under contract for the next few years, and you're trying to, you're trying to get as good as you can. But I said this to a team, and they agreed with me, not about Golden State, but just in general. Sometimes you just got to walk away from the table. Sometimes you got to just pick up your whatever chips you have left, and you walk away from the table, and you regroup for another day here, and we'll see what happens with Golden State, and that might be the reality of everything.
You know, Bobby Marks here on the River Islands guest line, ESPN analyst and front office insider. He's been doing a long time, former assistant GM of the Brooklyn Nets. You know, I've been kind of bringing that up over the last week, and, you know, some people say, well, Bonte, you're an idiot, and, you know, maybe you work for the team. But I'm if nothing happens February 6th, I think, yeah. To what you just said, I think it does behoove the Warriors to wait until the offseason, because yeah. I do think there's going to be more teams. We don't know who the next disgruntled superstar is going to be. We don't know if there's some guys at the margins, like maybe a P.J. Washington and Gafford that mm-hmm. became available yeah. for the Dallas Mavericks. I do yeah. believe that maybe you will have more optionality in the summertime to make a move, as opposed to, hey, let's try to get a quick fix. We're 11th yeah. right now. Let's try to get into the top six, because it does look very unlikely that they can bring in a player, especially like a Zach LaVine, for example. It's going to cost you a haul, right, for Zach yeah. LaVine, Bobby?
Well, it's, I mean, not just, you know, if it's draft pick or whatever, but it's just the amount of players that would be going out when you're trading for a guy making, you know, $43-44 million. Any of those guys out there. That's why it's so complicated right now, certainly with the Jimmy Butler situation right now. And it's, you know, and, you know, teams don't want Bradley Beal in the third year. And I think you have to have a big picture approach. I've been in a front office where we traded, I think, you know, back then it was top eight get in, and I think we were like two games out of eight. And we traded a lightly lottery protected first to Portland, thinking that we can make a run to get in and get Gerald Wallace, and it backfires on you. And, you know, certainly Gerald has had a couple good years for us, but it's not worth it. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing. It's like, it's the patience level, right? It's right. like, it's the big picture approach. I know the goal is to get in somehow, not to be in the lottery here. But I do think you have to have some type of kind of reality out there. And listen, we live in a day and age of this collective bargaining agreement where it's not home runs. You know, hitting home runs is really the, you know, that's the least likely way how to go out and do trades. It's a lot of these singles and doubles. And as you said, it's what Dallas did a year ago when you get Gafford and you get PJ Washington. I think that's what you're trying to look for right now. Unfortunately, there's not to that magnitude. I don't know if you want to go out and trade a first round pick for Jonas Valanciunas, right? Like, does that move the needle a little bit for you? Vucevic in Chicago? I don't know. Like, that's, you know, that's the type of, you know, that's what you're looking at.
Okay, so, you know, we all pretend to be GMs. I got buddies to, I do this, and this, you know, and but you've done this for a living. And again, removing emotion, all that. Steph Curry comes to the team and he says, you guys do whatever you want to do. I would like to stay here. That would be my preference. Yeah. You know, do what you think you need to do to make this team good again. However long that takes, I'm here for you. They mm-hmm. come to you, Bobby, and they say, what are the moves? What would you recommend them to do?
Oh man, I wish I had a player like that when I was in the front office that could say to me, "Listen, I'll work with you as far as I'll be patient and everything like that." I think at the end of the day, you know, it's interesting. It's almost like, you know, Phoenix has mortgaged their future for the next whatever 5 or 6 years to be a first round team. If you want to try to do that, and I'm not saying Golden State would do that, there are deals out there. Like, listen, if they want to, if, you know, like I'm, as I said, I'm probably not going to do Zach LaVine, but the hard thing is that I can't pinpoint a player out there that can move the needle. It's really hard for me. Brandon Ingram, Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal, you know, some of those higher end guys here.
Zion?
You know, listen, I'm what's that?
Zion? I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, Zion for me, and I've talked about it before, Zion for me is a low risk, I'm not mortgaging the future type move. Listen, if I can move Wiggins and something else in a first round pick, yeah, that probably would do it, and you got to take the risk as far as everything else that comes with it. But that's worth a certainly that's worth a swing. I always say this too. I mean, you guys know, you go through the playoffs, there's going to be players and there's going to be teams that get eliminated in the first round that are going to be unhappy,
mm-hmm.
and that's usually when things start to getting here. Listen. I'm not saying I would go after him, but who knows if Joel Embiid will be available, right? Like that. I mean, but that's a $300 million headache that you would inherit. I'm just, you know, that's just kind of like, that's the scenarios that we're going to go through, you know, in the next few months here. You just got to get through these next 2 weeks, and if there's no deal to be made, then you kind of regroup and you figure it out in the offseason.
Bobby, have you heard anything on Zion being moved before the deadline? I know David Griffin, the GM down there in New Orleans, would he actually do that before the deadline, trade Zion Williamson? Because I know he missed a flight recently. Yeah. Obviously, he hasn't been on the floor. Do you think that would happen? If I had to, hey, Bobby, your last dollar, you put your bottom dollar on it, Zion's going to be in a Pelican uniform after February 6th, what would you say to that?
I would say he'll be in a New Orleans uniform. Tim McMahon and I wrote about it right before he was about to come back from his injury, kind of just a, you know, it's kind of the biggest mystery and everything, and all signs pointed that he would. And I think if for New Orleans perspective, you're trying to build up his value, right? You're trying to maximize as much. Listen, the injury concerns will always be there, but you want to maximize his value and how you do that is for him to be on the court for you for the last, you know, 35, 40 games.
We've been talking about this, about just the Kuminga, his value, you know, how much that he would be, you know, getting potentially at the end of this year, and the ability for the Warriors to match or go above and beyond that. How's that looking this morning? You know, like, what's his value league-wide? How many teams are offering him big money? How should the Warriors view him? Like, I have a million Kuminga questions, and I watch him every night, and I don't have the answer.
Yeah, listen, restricted free agency.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is tricky. Restricted free agency requires a team to come in with an offer sheet. There is literally one team this summer, which is the Brooklyn Nets, who have more than $40 million in room. There's a couple of teams in that $20 to $25 million range. So I think Jonathan Kuminga's value is probably where Jalen Johnson in Atlanta is, you know, in that $30 million range. Mm-hmm. They signed him to an extension for, I think, 5 for $150 million. I think Jalen's probably more accomplished as far as what he's been able to do the last couple of years. But I think that's kind of where I think that's where I see the Kuminga, you know, value. This is not a marketplace this upcoming summer where it's 2016 and 25 out of the 30 teams have cap space and they're going to go out and overpay on one of these players.
What would you think? Because a lot of Warrior fans are getting fed up with Draymond Green, who of course has helped this team win 4 championships. I thought he got off to a great start this season. He was shooting the 3-ball well, and I think he needs to be aggressive offensively to open up the offense and create more spacing for guys like Steph and Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
But what would the market look like for Draymond Green for Warrior fans that are curious?
Yeah, listen, I did a podcast with Kevin O'Connor from Yahoo, and Kevin made a really good point, and it had to do kind of with, you know, how Danny Ainge had basically kind of tore down that roster in Boston with Pierce and Garnett. And he made the point was that Danny was on those teams with Bird and McHale and Parrish, and Red Auerbach was reluctant to do anything, right? We got to see it through. These are kind of living legends here. And it kind of burnt them at the end because they were basically stuck with older players and the rebuild was a lot harder. And why I say that is, you know, Kevin brought that up as far as Draymond, right? Like, and he also brought Steph up and I was like, wait a minute, let's hold on.
I was listening a little bit, Bobby. I was like, chill, dude. You don't want ticket slashes price, empty gym. Nobody's trading Steph unless he absolutely says I want out.
I don't want Mike and Joe mad at me if I'm talking about Steph. But I did say, like, listen, if it was Draymond and he's got, after this year, I think 2 more years, listen, if you're looking at teams like Detroit, who are an up-and-coming team and have some draft picks and have some young players, I think that would be something, probably not in the next couple weeks, but I do think that's probably a conversation as far as, you know, he doesn't fit everyone, as you guys know, but I do think if you can get something back and it makes sense, and it kind of restarts this retool a little bit quicker without doing something drastic, I think that's certainly something that you would probably have to think about.
In terms of like owners and collaboration, the word meddling has been described with Joe Lacob, and you've been in it. Would you rather your owner not have any input when working with the GM, or would you rather hearing directly, you know, the collaboration and the conversations, and maybe there's some creative tension between you and the owner as a GM?
Listen, I would rather have the owner be part of the conversation here. I worked for an owner in Brooklyn for 5 years, and I probably saw him one time. So that's the, you know, I wouldn't want an absentee owner. Joe paid a lot of money for this organization and they've won a lot of championships. And I think he has the right, you know, as far as, you know, from a decision-making standpoint. I will say this though. I do think you have to trust the people, whether it be Mike, and Larry and that group there, as far as, you know, putting the roster together, presenting ideas that make sense. Of course, at the end of the day, the owner, in any situation, the owner is going to have the final say. Rarely is the owner going to say, well, I'll leave it up to you. He'll have the final say because it's based on a lot of different circumstances. So I would want my owner to be involved. I wouldn't want my owner being the GM, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you see that in Dallas right now with the with the Cowboys, as far as Jerry Jones, that certainly hasn't worked out. But I wouldn't have any problem as far as from an ownership standpoint, him being involved.
From that sense, I want to follow up on that, Bobby, because I'm with you. I would rather have an owner who cares about the damn team sitting courtside and wants to win and paying all the luxury tax money. It must be a luxury for a GM. But do you get the sense from afar that Joe Lacob could be overbearing, or maybe he's too involved? And do you think that he's hindered maybe Mike Dunleavy or Bob Myers when he was running the team from making moves? Do you think Joe Lacob's done that at all from what you've heard?
Well, I don't think so because, listen, you go, you just look at the – I think it's coming out more now just because they're not winning, right?
Exactly.
I mean, Golden State went through a stretch from 2014 to 2019 where they made zero regular season trades because they didn't need to.
Yep.
Right? You didn't need to do anything. Some of your stuff you did in the offseason here. And it becomes a little bit more challenging when you're not playing well and there's an emotion involved and you're staring at the play-in, you're trying to get in here and you're trying to figure it out here. So I don't think, you know, from a meddling, or whether it had been Bob or, you know, currently with Mike. As I said, kind of you give him your ideas and your thoughts. Of course, he's got the right to overrule you on everything like that, but I don't buy into that.
What would, I mean, we get these texts all the time. Like, maybe they should explore trading Steph Curry. And we don't subscribe to that. We know he's a cash cow. You've run a team. You know he's, you're laughing because you know he's a cash cow. But what would it, hypothetically, and I almost feel stupid asking this.
Yeah, I almost want to cut him off, Bobby.
No, one second.
No, listen.
What does it look like?
Here's what I'll say. I'm not going to go into hypotheticals and all that stuff. I would say this. There's only two players in the NBA that have a no trade clause, LeBron and Bradley Beal. I would say Steph Curry has a de facto no trade clause. And the ability of what he's done for that organization, he basically built an arena based on what he's been able to do the last 10 years and win championships. And I would never go out there and start calling, hey, if we put Curry on the market, this, what could we, you know, what are you guys thinking? I would never do that. I think if there was ever a time and he looks at the roster, whether it be the offseason or next year, or, you know, whenever, and he says like, hey, listen, this is, you know, I want what's best for the organization, and that's kind of rebuilding this thing. That's where you would kind of go in that direction there with him and everything. Like he basically would hold the cards. Now I'll say this. Listen, if it ever happened, and I don't think it will, I mean, you guys see what's been traded. You know, 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges, 4 picks for Rudy Gobert, 4 picks for Donovan Mitchell. I think how Oklahoma City has done it, and we can talk all about draft picks, and they've got a lot. The reason why Oklahoma City is so successful is because they got a franchise player back in a trade in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. That's the reality of it. They don't get Shea, they're probably sitting there where Utah is or some of these other teams that have a lot of draft picks. San Antonio has Victor. You can use that player as a building block. So that's probably, you know, certainly a conversation for another day. And as I said, you know, even though he doesn't have a no trade, he basically does.
Yeah. Thank you for answering that. Look, we just get asked a lot, and I feel stupid even asking that. That being said, like, they've got a draft pick for next year, and there's probably going to be a middle-round pick somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I feel like they need – the fountain of youth for Steph would be a bigger two-guard who can facilitate a little, knock down shots, but defensively be able to complement him in the way that Clay was. What would be the fountain of youth type of a player, skill set, on the roster they could add via trade or in the draft that you'd be – not a name, just like a type of player they need that could be that fountain of youth for him to age gracefully?
Well, that's the player. I think that's kind of – you know, listen, everybody's kind of you know, whether you're looking for a big wing or you're looking for a two guard, and Steph certainly had that with Clay for a long time. That's the guy as far as where they can alleviate the pressure. And I think that's why, listen, they had success early in the year because Buddy played really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Buddy's not a big, big guard, but, and I said this, I think back in like November, I said like, listen, Buddy's the X factor as far as kind of where things go with this. And when he plays well, good things happen. And so I think that is, yeah, that's probably your position of need as far as what you probably need to address, in the off season and in the draft and everything.
Bobby, you're the man. We appreciate all the time today, man. Thanks for clearing a lot of things up. We're on the same page with a lot of things there. Bobby, take care, man. We'll be looking for your work on Tuesday.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Great stuff.
Anytime. Bobby Marks here on the River Islands guest line.
I learn from him every time.
I mean, just look, the trade stuff, when I just think it's dumb as hell.
I know.
I mean, not you. I'm not saying you.
Yeah.
But I've been hearing it this week on the station, whether it's from Hulst or anything. You know, trade Steph Curry. Do you understand the business? If we want to talk about, it's one thing on the court. This is why I say Steph Curry, when people talk, bring up his contract, well, $60 million and blah, 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 blah. He's worth every single penny, and then some. Because I'm seeing all the 30 jerseys every single night at Chase Center. You're not getting a packed house the minute you trade Stephen Curry.
No.
Ticket prices are going down the drain. Hell, I remember the year, real quick, when the season got shut down due to the pandemic, the Warriors were bad. They won 15 games. 15 games that season. They were so bad. The Warriors hooked this whole station up with a suite to go watch a game. You think that happens if they win? No. They're going to be looking to give out tickets. Hey, come on out. It's a great time out. Stop it.
You know what the Warriors, like right now, would be without Steph Curry? House of Prime Rib without the Prime Rib. Chick-fil-A without the chicken.
Well, you guys may be getting House of Prime Rib without the Prime Rib.
No, but am I wrong?
Broke.
Am I wrong? I don't like cocktails. I'm not trying to dog House of Prime Rib.
You guys are getting one cocktail or some cream spinach, buddy.
Could you imagine going to House of Prime Rib like, I'm a vegetarian. Yeah. Like, why are you here?
Well, y'all better be veggies when I pay off this debt.
You know, going to Chick-fil-A and you're like, I'm here for the salad. And I know they make great salads. I'm not knocking. I love Chick-fil-A. I go to Chick-fil-A for the chicken, right? That's what we're there for.
Oh, gosh, man. So,
are you in agreement with me? Like,
what?
The two guard who could dribble a little and just defend and knock down some shots is the highest priority.
No, I don't know about that.
What do you?
Rim protection may be the highest priority.
I'm talking about the future of the organization.
Big, well, like, you need athletic wings.
Okay.
3-and-D guys.
Okay.
Whether that's a 2, 3, or 4, you need 3-and-D guys. This is where you go look at Amen Thompson from the Houston Rockets.
He's a monster. How big is he?
He's like 6'7", I want to say, maybe 6'8".
He moves so well.
So I'm going to look it up right here. But last night he had a stat line as he beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in Houston. Houston's number 2 in the Western Conference right now. And they have a back-to-back with Houston. I'm going to play him on the 25th. But I get it. Evan Mobley didn't play last night. But I'm in Thompson.
6'7", 200 pounds.
16 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. This guy is hooping. You look at his game logs here. That's the type of guy I'm talking about here. Detroit, he had 17, 6-5 against his brother in a loss. But he had 3 steals. One night, hell, against Memphis when they beat the Grizzlies, 19, 13, 4 assists, 5 block shots. Those are the type of guys I'm talking about.
Where was he picked?
Top 10. He was a lottery pick alongside his brother.
Because his brother went to Detroit.
Yeah, his brother's in Detroit. He's a baller.
I didn't know about them as twins.
Well, you know, Mully was bringing it up from yesterday, Oakland, even off air and on air, that he saw them at Steph Curry's camp.
Gotcha.
They're at Steph Curry's camp. And he goes, so one thing he noticed for some young players, he goes, they're super athletic. They're long. Yeah. And he goes, they were willing passers. And they defended at a high level and were very unselfish.
Prerequisite.
Well, when LeBron James says they ain't like us in reference to them and their athletic ability, when the most athletic player in the history of the sport is the most athletic, they're different.
Yeah.
I listen to that.
That is crazy. So the Thompson twins are balling. Those are the type of guys I'm willing.
We played the Rockets earlier this year, and I came in, and I know a lot of people were like, at the time, we were like, the Rockets. And I remember you and me, I was like, dude, the Rockets roster's pretty nice, dude.
No, they are.
They're not OKC nice, but they're trending that way.
Well, they're number 2 in the West. Cam Whitmore's a baller. Tari Eason's a baller off the bench.
The Rockets coming out to play.
They've come out to play.
It's not aging
well. They've come out to play.
They're playing, and you're on the bench.
And you know what? There's a great article in The Athletic about Ime Udoka, the culture they set there. They ain't no punks. They ain't taking nothing for crap down in Houston. So they're 29-14. They get Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks. Even though Dylan, the villain, he gets on my nerves. But you know what? For that culture, they have a mentality saying, you ain't going to punk us. You're going to have to go through us. And you're going to have to see us about something. So they're tough. The Grizzlies are tough. So whether it's a 2-guard, 3-guard, a 3 or a 4, give me some 6'7", 6'8 dudes who can play on both ends of the floor, who are athletic marvels, can get to the cup and hit the occasional 3-point shot. That's where the league is at right now. That's where everybody's gone with the league as this thing has evolved. So, look, man, I don't know what the priority is, but I think getting athletic is on the top of the board. Getting bigger is on the top of the board, and getting some shooting is on top of the board.
You know, he brought up two things that are the realities of playing the other side of the coin. Everyone thinks, we'll just be OKC. We'll do all these trades, and we'll be OKC. He's like, or you could be Utah, which you're in a deep, frozen abyss, okay? The other side of this, is, as the Warriors are right now, I think it sounds great online, and in front of a microphone to be like, trade everything, trade all the next 10 first-round picks for player X, let's just say Jimmy Butler. And you're standing on the cliff of looking down, and you're like, literally nothing for the 7 years after, this might be, for a shot at being like the 6th seed. That terrifies me as much as like trading away Steph Curry. Yeah. I know that sounds crazy. Both of those options sound terrifying to me.
Well, Bobby Marks made a point that I've been trying to hammer home for the last week and a half. And I think people will adjust to it, but we talk about the P word, patience. Yeah. Not a lot of people have patience.
And PR.
But, you know, Bobby said it, and I've been saying it over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, and I've been thinking about this for a longer time.
Trades are hard.
Trades are hard. But waiting until the summer may create more opportunities to get a better player than what's happening at the deadline. And I know we don't want to live through it. I know there may be, this may be an average basketball team right now. Maybe they can turn around. They're 21-22. Maybe they can if they get healthy. Maybe there's a shot. But you know what? Waiting until summertime, when you let some of these contracts, you know, there's another year left. You know, you got some expirings. Now, I would like to see the expirings maybe traded. But then if you want to trade the big boys, you may be able to do so in the summer where people have a clearer view of their books.
Agreed. But the sand is coming down the hourglass.
It is.
Right? Like, it's – I mean, look, some people think he's got 4 years, three, two. Like, who – I don't know. Like, I don't even know anymore. I don't even know.
Steph? Oh, yeah. Steph's got some years. Steph can still hoop.
No, I know, but I'm saying,
he's
still
hoop. So it's almost – if Steph wants to say, hey, it's time now this summer. It's time now this summer to make some moves, and maybe I want out. And I don't think he does. I think he wants to ride this out.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
And that's David M. Maryland, who's going to shut the hell up and stop with his Twitter feed because he'll get off the trade machine.
It is interesting. Like, they won, 44 and then 48, right?
44-46.
44-46, okay. We do talk about them like they're like a 23-win team sometimes. Right, like, because the calibration for the Warrior fans has been like automatic, right? 55.
Yep.
So, automatic. And anything less than that is just not even close to the standard.
Nope, not at all. So, I mean,
and
we'll
I get
see
it.
What happens.
I get it. I really do. I get it.
Let's get our girl in before we end the show. Tony in Oakland. Tony.
Okay, Vontae, you have it more than Van Pelt. You know that commentator?
Oh, Scott Van Pelt? No, I don't. Scott
yeah,
Van Pelt's
and this is why. I heard him mixing it up with this other guy saying, oh, look, they have their crosses on, you know, the football players, and then they go on the field. But they still have to conform. And what the dude doesn't get is the zone, the way you do, Vontae. What he's missing
that.
Is these players are so trying to be like Curry. You know, Curry's like a superstructure of it. You try to return to it so it could conform and turn with you on the field, and then you become heroic. So that those guys just don't get this divine spiraling form that you've got to conform to it to become heroic, right? And, you know, that's why some of them like Curry and Purdy and McCaffrey, et cetera, they're like these sports monks because, you know, they may wear a cross or not wear a cross, but what they're trying to do is to feel it there and to conform with it so it does it for you. It's kind of like the Egyptian motifs at UC Berkeley. You see also all these spiraling forms.
That's
a reminder we have to return and conform to it and pay attention with our intuition. So, Vontae, you got it going on better than old Van Pelt. You should take over his job, too.
Be a hell of a lot of money, that's for sure. Van Pelt's living large. We know in the Bay Area, man, we're pitching for pennies out here. All right, that's it. Fast Five.
It's time Tony for the Xfinity else, Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
You know what, Tony? We met her at the Doobie Awards. I couldn't believe she came through to the Doobies. I think she was completely sober. Maybe she had a little weed. Her boyfriend, what was her boyfriend's name? Steve? Was it Steve? He had the curly hair, man. He was a good dude, man. Hey, get your mic on.
The greatest line ever uttered. It's a little odd when a room full of men are chanting your girlfriend's name.
And she was
she's
in his
walking
zone.
Up to the center stage on a red carpet.
Man.
I was just dying.
My Fast Five, my final thoughts. Happy birthday to my little sister, Brittany.
Oh, happy birthday.
Brittany, Melissa, Alexander Hill. Brittany, I love you. Happy birthday. You're getting old up there. We'll have some fun this weekend. What you got, Sean?
They got the Bulls tonight?
Got the Bulls tonight.
The Bulls tonight. Vuk watch, huh?
And Levine watch.
And Levine watch. Avril Levine?
Adam Levine.
Adam Levine.
Adam Levine.
I like it. Is that Maroon 5?
Yes.
What's your final thought? Just the Bulls?
I don't really have one.
You don't have a final thought?
You should have like 4 or 5.
Right.
The mushroom tea that I sipped when Tony came on has got me a little delusional.
Oh, man.
You're talking about spiraling?
I feel like
Alice in Wonderland is falling down the hole.
Tony comes on and I am floating, brother. I am floating.
We all go down the rabbit hole when Tony comes on. We 100%. Are all in Alice in Wonderland, absolutely. Fun movie, by the way. I like watching the old Disney movies with Benny and stuff. I haven't watched since I was a kid, so those are fun to go back on. You'll do that with LJ as he gets older.
Did you hear about Miss Rachel?
Yeah, she's coming to Netflix.
She signed an exclusive big deal.
Big news.
She got the bag, Bonte. Oh, no, she got the bag.
Oh, you haven't seen that? She has merch at Target now.
You should be happy whenever somebody gets a bag. I'm always happy when somebody gets a bag. Go get your money.
She has a good story, too. What she's doing with like her own son and how it forced her to be able to communicate differently. Yeah. Very cool.
Dude, you want to talk about hitting the mushroom tea?
Right.
My kid, when he sees Miss Rachel on the screen, dude, he locked in.
That's unfair. I don't think Tony's on mushrooms, man. Because when you're on mushrooms, you can't be cussing.
Is it microdosing?
Like that. Yeah, microdosing. Tony's chilling, man. That's just who she is, man. We got to meet her in person. She was normal. And to talk to her, she loved her. Tony, get off my girl. Love it. What's up?
My final thought is just listening to everything that Casey and Bobby had to say. It does feel like if you're looking at the trade deadline expecting the great miracle that will turn the season around, you might be expecting a little bit too much. But again, we've been a lot of doom and gloom today. It's probably not as bad within the Warriors as we want to say it is, but it's just so depressing. I'm not angry, Bonte. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. It was a winnable game last night. A winnable game. They had it. They played their asses off. It was great to see Guy Santos and Post. Moody got some run. They're fighting. The effort is there. And that's all, I can respect that. The effort is there. Just clean up the turnovers tonight against Chicago. You should be able to get back to 500. But boy, if they don't, what's tomorrow going to be like?
Well, I mean, Guru and Steiny, I cannot wait to hear what they've got going on.
What, is Steiny going to request trading Steph for Caris LeVert, who didn't play yesterday?
Darius Garland, too.
Garland, yeah. Yeah, how fans feel about that.
He says the Cavs would say no.
Yeah, I'm sure Kenny Atkinson, who coached Steph Curry, would say no to that.
I said the same thing, Bonte.
Cavs would say no.
Hey, that is asinine.
I love that.
I can guarantee you Kenny Atkinson wouldn't say no to that.
Real quick, as we're moving on to the next show. I didn't have one, actually. Chiming in
my
on everyone
bad,
else's.
I interrupted you.
No, Draymond Green is telling Jordan Poole to move on. I think Draymond Green is the one that needs to move on. That's it. And we're going to move on to the next show.
To the left.
That was Fast 5, brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Have a good day, everybody.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.